Song of Solomon, chapter 3. The Holy Spirit has given us many, many blessings of seeing Jesus in even chapter 3 here. But for some reason, he's just brought us back to chapter 3 today, right now, where our hearts are at. And the way that the dove landed on much of this verse was specific. It was very specific. And I trust that he knows why he's sharing it and landing on certain words and things in this chapter. And I believe it's for hearts that are really hungry and just so desirous and so seriously on fire to bring forth Christ, and that he hears those hearts and he is just hastening to bless that desire to bring forth Christ. I believe that. And so I'm just going to try to deliver what he delivered to me so that you all can receive from him and deliver the Son to the Father. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's start in verse 1. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Okay, so in this verse, what I felt the dove land on was by night on my bed. Those words specifically. And now they're followed by this, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. So the person, the Shulamite, the woman in this, which is a picture of us, the church, trying to progress from church to bride, she loves him. She loves him. And she's seeking him. She's not just passive, or she's not satisfied with where her walk is. She's not satisfied. She's desiring him. And I think that's important to see, that there's something in her that's so hungry and so desiring of him whom her soul loveth, and that she's looking for him. But she's looking for him by night. And that was the first words that the dove landed on, by night. And here's just some thoughts in regards to that. And the Spirit will probably give you a sense of what these words might mean from his heart. By night, in the darkness of where he is not formed in her. By night. And it's that place where, you know, she's his. Chapter 2, chapter 1, I mean, she's intimately his. We see that relationship based on the cross, based on oneness. You know, she belongs to Jesus. She is blood bought. She's entering into knowing him as her life in certain ways. But there's this night that she is in the darkness of, she doesn't know him. And it's not just the knowing of him in experience or seeing something in the word, or maybe knowing how to, the light of ministry or different things. But it's the night, the feeling I kept getting was it's the night that comes deep inside where you go, he's not formed there. There is still this darkness upon the face of my deep as an earthen vessel. At night, I feel this unformed, this void within my earth, within my earthen vessel, where it is yet darkness. It's the absence of light. It's the absence of him who is the light of my world, of my earthen vessel. And though I belong to him, and though Christ is in me, yet he's not filling this chamber of my heart. This place is in me that they are so empty and void of him, and I want him, I love him, I'm seeking him, you know, but I'm not finding him there. I'm not finding him there as my life. And you know, how can we put into words what doctrines and religion can say? It's okay, you're in Christ, Christ is in you. Why would you be restless? Why would your heart be longing? Why would you need to seek him? You're fine, you're saved. Your salvation is secure, you know, everything's all right. Don't be upset. You know, I kept hastening to Hannah, you know, when she went to the altar in Samuel, in 1 Samuel, and she's just so wrought with anxiety to bring forth a son, and the priesthood is just like, why are you so calm down, everything's okay, you're part of Israel, you know, this is, you've got what you need. And, you know, this, I see this woman here in chapter 3 going, you know, I know I've had incredible experiences with him in chapter 2. I know that I belong to him from chapter 1. I know that I have him in a sense, because I'm in the Song of Solomon. I'm in this relationship with the Lord. But there's this nighttime inside of me. There's this void of his life. It's dark inside of me. And you know, the darkness that is us, you know, the scriptures say in the New Testament that we who were once darkness. If you really look at the words, I think it's in Colossians. I don't know which verse or chapter, but it doesn't say we who were once in darkness, but we who were once darkness has he translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We were the darkness. And you know, in my own personal experience, the darkness that is Kelly, that is me, is terrifying. That great void or lack of Christ in me, it's terrifying. It is. And how I long for Christ to fill that void and be my light, the Lamb being my light inside. And so she's on her bed and she's laying there in the darkness, in the night of his lack of being formed within her. And she's laying on her bed. And so then the dove landed on the words, my bed. And he said, look down in chapter 3 to verse 7. And if you look down in chapter 3 to verse 7, it says, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. You can just stop there. But behold his bed. So she's seeking him by night on her bed. She's not on his bed. And so she's in a place of rest that is not really in union, in a living union with the Lamb in his place of rest and oneness. Now, she has experienced some incredible things of knowing him in rest in chapter 2, just the chapter right before chapter 3. She has known him in ways of rest that are phenomenal and truly of God, God-given experiences with him, God-given words of oneness. Let's just look back in chapter 2 at verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3 says, I sat under his shadow with great delight. You know, she has feasted upon him under the shadow of his wing, close to his heart in oneness. She's been in that knowing of him. Chapter 2, verse 6, you know, it says, his left hand is under my head, his right hand doth embrace me. She's laid in his arms, if you will. She's known the embrace of oneness. And she knows it's true, not just doctrinally, but experientially. That's right there, just verses before chapter 3. And hear the strong affirmations in chapter 2, verse 14. Oh, my dove, you are in the clefts of the rock. You are in the secret places of the stairs. So he's told her from his own mouth, his own word to her is, you are in me. My dove, you are in the clefts of the rock. You are in the secret places of the stairs. I mean, that's just strong affirmation that she's in Christ. She's in Christ. But yet here she is in chapter 3, honored bed, you know, not in his rest. And it's nighttime. He's not formed. She's feeling it. She's laying there feeling it. And it's not okay with her. And I want to say that this Shunammite, or the Shulamite, forgive me, this Shulamite who gets up out of her bed in this next verse, I will arise now, that's verse 2 of chapter 3, I want to commend her, because many people would be like, I am okay. I mean, I have known him under his shadow. I have lain in his arms. He has spoken strong affirmation to me that I am in him. So I can ignore the fact that there's darkness on the face of my deep, and that darkness is me, and the Son of God hasn't been so formed in me that he fills that with his life. I don't even want to look at that. That doesn't matter, because I'm in Christ. And, you know, I'm at rest. It may not be his rest. It may not be the rest that literally is oneness with the Lamb in his crucified nature, which these verses continue to show down the line. But it's a rest that is good enough for me. I mean, I find peace in my bed, when I consider that I'm in Christ and accepted and have had great experiences more than most people, and that's a good enough rest for me. I am at peace with that. So how many times in my own life has that been enough? It's just, this is good. I'm good. I don't need to seek the Lord. I am happy with where I'm at. And yet I'm on my bed and it's night. And I haven't let the reality of my condition affect me so deep that it causes me to rise up now and go about the city streets and the broadways and seek him whom my soul loves. I mean, you know, something in her just said, I am not satisfied with where I'm at. I will not justify the darkness on the face of my deep with the experiences I had in chapter 2. It's not okay. It's not enough. I have to find him whom my soul loveth in a way that fills me with his life and takes me out of my false rest into his true oneness rest, his rest. I want to enter in just like Hebrews says. I want to enter into his rest. I don't want him to have to enter into my false rest, which he won't do anyway. I want to enter into the true rest that was from before the foundation of the world. Read about it in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. Wow, she's like, no, I want to be real with God. You know, and I believe the Holy Spirit like goes, whoa, we got a fish on the line. She's serious. She's not okay with just being okay when she's not okay. She really wants the Son. And, you know, oh my gosh, I think that gets the Lord's attention. I know it does. So she says, man, I'm getting up. I'm rising up right now in the middle of this night that is in me, in the middle of this rest. I am shaking myself from my passivity and my false rest. I am shaking myself out of this complacency. I'm shaking myself out of this lukewarmness that says it's okay when deep inside I know it's not okay. It's not okay. Not with me. And I'm getting up and I'm just going to seek him. I don't even know how to seek him. I don't even know where to find him. But I know I ain't going to find him in the darkness of my bed in my false rest. So you know what? Pretty much anywhere but here is going to be a good start. So she just gets up. She just gets up and goes. Gotta love it. You gotta know the Lord's going to honor that. You know, he'll get us to him if our heart is going to push and press and cry out like that. So she does it. She does it. She goes in the broadway and she starts to seek him. Now, we've had her seeking him in her night, on her bed, and I believe this is her seeking him in her walk. You know, like I said, this is just kind of the way the dove landed on it for us today. I'm not saying this is, you know, this is for whatever reason, the way he landed on it, and you can ask him. So she can't find him in her walk. She cannot find him in the ways her soul has known him in her daily routines and her familiar paths. She's just not finding him in the city streets and the broadways, the familiar paths. She's progressed from leaving the realm of her false rest and seeking him out for, I want living union, I want oneness, real oneness. I want this to be the sun in me to displace the darkness that is me and bring forth the life and light that is the Lamb. I want him in me in this way and out of me in this way. But nothing that these city streets offer are revealing the him she is looking for. And I just, you know, can hear her heart saying as she's wandering these city streets, crying out for this Jesus, where is the one who intoxicated my soul with his beauty in chapter 2? Where is the light that shined down upon me in chapter 2? You know, chapter 2, as I rested under his shadow and lay in his arms. Where is the fruit of the one that fed me with raisins and apples and I banqueted at his table? I feasted in his chambers. Where is the one in chapter 2? Where is he? And he's like not presenting himself to her in old ways, in circumstances, or, you know, there was a huge explosion in chapter 2 of him making himself real to her in certain ways. But as we are seeing in the book of Revelation, it's always a progression from church to bride. He's never satisfied to just keep us in one place until he's got us in his place, in true oneness with the Lamb. So he's always going to push the bar. He's always going to draw us deeper. He's always going to take us to the next level, if you will, of really knowing him as our life. And yeah, I believe that's what this song's about. So he wants her to progress. He wants her all the way until she is truly his habitation. And he is truly her life. And so she's not finding him, but she's trying. She's seeking. And so in this passionate pursuit out in the streets, just the only way she knows to look, she comes across these watchmen, the watchmen that go about the city. They found me, to whom I said, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" Now, I've thought of these watchmen for many years in many ways, and God only knows if any of those thoughts were from God. But the way I considered them today was different than I have in the past. And I saw these watchmen as people who were seeking her out because she's becoming a troublemaker. She is becoming an oddity in the beautiful community of clean streets and ordered civilization and religious community and everything going a certain way in a certain thing, so that we have no real confrontation with our dire need for the Lamb to be our life. And here she is. She's just getting up and crying out. And these watchmen are going, "Just calm it down, lady. You are causing problems in your hardcore seeking of him." And again, it's that picture of Hannah where Eli's, "Are you drunk? What's going on? Church is over. Get off the altar. Wipe your tears. You're making an embarrassment of yourself and of us. Come on, you're making everyone else uncomfortable. We're all very happy with where we're at. You know, we're in Christ. We're saved. Why do we need to cry? We have what we need. We have salvation and security. Why would you want to bring forth a son, Hannah? You know, what is that to you?" And she's going, "What is it to God? I want to bring forth a son that I can give to the God. I don't have the son formed in me in a way that I can give to the Father, his son. And, you know, Samuel can go into the priesthood all the days of his life and serve God's needs. You know, I want to bring him forth." Just like our prayer time today in the beginning, it's his needs that are important. That's the heart of the Shulamite. That's the heart of Hannah. And the watchmen and the priesthood and all the religious people are going, "Stop seeking him in this way." You know, but she has no clue, because if it's Eli the priest or a watchman in the church or in the community set for honorable purposes per se, well, you know, this is their job. She says, "Hey, saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" They're like, "Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Go home. Go back to bed. Go back to your false rest. Stop it. Stop it. We're watching out for people like you." You know, we're the passion police. We've got Larry Law. Here's the passion police. And they're like, "Your level of passion needs to be put under control, lady. You are causing problems. Get out of here. Go back to your little hole and be religious with the rest of us." She's like, "Forget it, man." And she runs into these guys again in chapter 5. The watchmen in chapter 5 actually smite her. You know, by chapter 5, they see her coming out again. They saw her here in chapter 3. They didn't smite her. But in chapter 5, they've about had it with her. She's running through the streets again. And they're like, "Okay, that's it." They smite her and they wound her, and they take the wall, the keepers of the wall take the veil from her. So these guys are mockers of the Lamb. They are crucifiers. They may be called watchmen, but they don't want the Lamb to get a wife. They don't want the bride to bring forth the son. They want everything to stay in the realm of that which has not received the circumcision. I mean, we see these people show up again in Galatians, don't we? They're on duty and they're ready to roll. Passion police, keep everybody away from the cross. Don't let anyone travail in birth to bring forth the son. You know what I mean? Let's all stay under the law. Keep it in the realm of the flesh. We don't need this crucified Christ coming forth here. That's going to cause problems to our religious community. You know, hey, Galatia, all of Galatia, the passion police called the Judaizers, they were on the watch. It's the same today. It may be, you know, that passion police may be our own mind. Stop. Come on. Settle down. Go down the familiar path like you used to. Don't cry out for Jesus there. Stay on your bed. Be at peace. It's okay that there's darkness on the deep. Just make your peace with it and get some rest. You're tired. Look at, you had a great go in chapter 2. Is that not enough? What more could you ask of him? Look at, you could live off those memories for the rest of your life. Your chapter 2 experience with the Lamb. No. She ain't gonna do it. So she passes by these watchmen. She's like, listen, something's wrong here. I'm going. I will not be calmed or quenched by their, and I call this hymnless, H-I-M-L-E-S-S, answers. She's going to press past the obstacle of the watchmen and keep searching. And the scriptures say it was a little while, just a little while, that I passed by those guys, and I found him whom my soul loveth. Now, this is huge. It's a huge thing in the spirit. I found him whom my soul loveth. And herein, this part of the scripture shows us how she found him. This is a different finding than chapter 2. Listen, I held him. I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of him who had conceived me. Now, here's words of bringing forth the son. I'm going to bring him into my mother's house. What is a mother's house but the womb of our spirit, where Christ can be our life? I don't want darkness to be on the face of my deep. I don't want to find him and experience and remain empty and barren and void of the sun. I want this Jesus that I find now to come inside as my life and fill me with light and nature and replace me. I must decrease, and I want his increase to come now inside of my innermost being, where he is meant to find habitation. I want to be his home. I want to be a mother's house to the Lamb. Praise God. I want to bring him into his place of rest in me, into the chamber of her that conceived me. You know, I want this to go beyond teaching. I want the Lord to have a place in me as life. You hear her heart in the elements of her response here in verse 4. It is very, very, very powerful. She wants Christ formed in her. She is desperate to not lose him again. And you know what? We will always lose him again until he's formed in us. We will. No matter how deep the experience and how of God the experience, how tremendous the illumination in the Word of God might be, how far-reaching it is what we saw and experienced, and you know, all these things that truly are from God and God. But without Christ formed in us, we're going to be broken cisterns, folks. We will be broken cisterns, and it will all flow out of us. And that's why she said, I want to seek him this time so that he can be formed in me. I don't want to be a broken cistern. I want to be an earthen vessel that brings forth a son. Now, that is a specific faith, that's a specific seeking, that's a specific heart, and I believe that that's what was in this woman as a picture of what's in the church as they continue to progress from church to bride. And I think it's a place where many of our hearts are at today, and I believe that's why the Holy Spirit landed on these scriptures, because he knows people love him that much that they want him in this way, and that's where we're at right now in our desire of him, in our pursuit, in our passion for him. And so we see in verse 6 that there has been a death involved in this pursuit of him. Now, there was not a lot of death involved in chapter 2, where she just received so much abundance of grace. And of his fullness have we received, and that grace for grace, we quote John. And yes, isn't it true that it's all been made ours through the death of the Lamb, and he has brought us in through his death and resurrection to partake of all of his fullness? It is ours as a free gift, and we are there to receive of that by grace, all of his fullness, grace for grace. She's done that in chapter 2. It's been God. It has been his fullness. It's real, and it's hers, but it hasn't formed Christ in her. She's still unformed inside. And so she passed through this little altar in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, where she said, I'm going to go into a form of death. Death to my satisfaction. Death to my soul, just keeping me satisfied with something that's not Christ in me, formed. And I'm going to take the mocking of the watchman, and I'm going to take the discomfort of the city streets, and I'm going to take the shame of saying, Holy Spirit, yeah, this is my false rest. Holy Spirit, yeah, I am still dark on the face of my deep. I'm not going to justify this. I'm not going to justify all this stuff going on inside of me and say it's Jesus. This is darkness. This is the hidden things of darkness. There's malice, there's strife, there's jealousy, there's envy, there's contention. There's all kinds of wickedness going on in there, trying to push myself forward, trying to be somebody, trying to increase Kelly. You know, I'm not going to call that Jesus. And I'm not going to say it's okay that that darkness is still in there because I had a wonderful chapter too. Until that darkness is gone and because the light has come, a true increase and a true decrease, an increase of the sun and a decrease of the Kelly, then I will continue to seek him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, with all of my mind, with all of my will. I will not be calmed. I will not be satisfied. The watchmen aren't going to get me back. I am not stopping till I find him whom my soul loveth. When I find him, I'm going to hold on to him until he is in the darkness of my deep in a manner that the life of God begins to replace the darkness that is me. I will not let him go till I have held him in this way now. That took death. That took denying her soul and all kinds of little altars. And so here in verse 6, you know, we see, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and all powders of the merchant, where you buy that pearl of great price and it costs you something. You know, it's a picture of a offering rising off of an altar. She's coming out of this experience of seeking him like the smoke rising from the altar. She's found oneness with the Lamb in a way that's bringing him forth out from her in real ways, essence ways, his life instead of hers. So, wow, this is what she looks like. Who is this coming? If it was her, it'd be her with a great experience to tell everybody, or a deep scripture to impress everybody with, and they'd recognize that it was her with a wonderful chapter to experience. But people don't recognize her after this because there has been an increase of Christ. Who are you? We know the Shulamite, but who is this? Your attitude, it's different. Your approach, it's other. Your responses, they're not your normal responses. What's happened to you? Who are we looking at here? You know, it's Jesus. It's not I, but Christ. It's worked. The cross has come and a decrease came because I let that sun be everything to me. I didn't justify. I didn't say it was okay. I wouldn't let him go. And now he's there. And now it's no longer I. It's him that you're seeing. This is who I am. He is my life. So now we have, behold his bed, verse 7. Oh, this is his rest. Behold, she is as a place of his rest. Oh, she is the bed. She is the place where he lays his head and manifests his name. She's the bed. Before she had a bed, and it wasn't him. It was just past experience. Now she's become the place of his rest, and she's rising out of the wilderness. And look, there's 80 valiant men around her, the valiant of Israel. So look at... She's surrounded by those who are given to cultivate the seed of Christ in others. Do you know that we need one another? This is very similar to something that I'll be sharing in Micah tonight. We need one another. You know, this passionate pursuit to gain the Son as our life, to bring him forth to the Father in sacrifice, it doesn't happen because we've got one valiant bride just seeking and special, and she's the only one, and she's going to get it before everyone else, and she's going to be more passionate than all. That's not the spirit of this. That's part of the darkness. Needs to go. She's letting the valiant come around her and protect her and carry her forth until Christ is formed. And even when Christ is formed, we cover one another. We cover each other. We cover each other specifically to cover the seed of Christ. And we need one another. There's not a one among us, not even our pastors and leaders, that don't need all of the body, the body. And those that God has given us to stand with us, so Christ can be formed in us, to stand together, to travail together, to pray for one another. I thank God for every person the Lord has given me that will believe for Christ to be formed in me, will fight over his seed in me. I will never come to a place where I don't need the body and the valiant of Israel to stand with their swords over Christ in me. I would never have ever matured at all. The Jesus that I have now could never have come if without the valiant of Israel and their swords. And the Jesus I'll have tomorrow can't come without the valiant and of Israel and their swords. I need them. We need each other. There's no shame in that. He made us one so that the strength of the whole could be given to each member until that seed continues to fill us all. And even then there's the ebb and flow. You know, it's a beautiful thing. She has that, and it carries her, and it's part of the progression. You see that there, and it encourages all of us to fight for our brethren, to stand for one another, to keep our sword drawn like those in Nehemiah, for the man on the right and the left, and not just for the Jesus we want for us, but the Jesus we want for him and the whole, and to stay in that spirit together and block out anything that will come between us, anything that would come to hinder that seed from coming forth, that house from being built. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, thank you. Thank you for giving us each other in this spirit. Thank you, Lord. So King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. And here we see he's making himself a place where she can be with him in oneness. But that place is the wood of Lebanon. It's the cross. That's the place that she's finding. She's finding him in at his nail-scarred feet, if you will. She's finding him in his being, the slain, the slaughtered, the Lamb of God. And he's made a place, and he's made himself a chariot that can carry her places she would never go. She would never go there. But he's going to carry her there because he's made himself a place where she can be safe and one. And it isn't the fake rest of chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It's the real rest of him carrying us by his life within us. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. He made the pillars thereof of silver, this is verse 10, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of purple, and the midst of the chariot is paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem, with love even of the daughters of Jerusalem. And I just see that, you know, this thing is full of Mary of Bethany's, if you will. It's just being carried by love. Love for the Lamb, witness with the Lamb, those who want him for him and are joining with him just to be the flesh and bones of the crucified, the habitation for the slaughtered one, just to be his. Oh, how beautiful, how beautiful. And it is so beautiful because here's our last verse, verse 11. Go forth, daughters of Zion, look at King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the days of his espousals, in the days of the gladness of his heart. She's saying, and these verses are saying, look at Solomon now. He has a crown. Look, it's the day of his espousals. He's getting one after his kind. She would not be satisfied to just stay separate in those ways. She had to find him in this way. And now he has a crown. He has a wife. He has one in the way he's been wanting one to be with him. One after his kind. One who is bearing his nature. One who is his. And it's the gladness of his heart. And isn't it a wonderful thing? And yeah, that's the relationship we all really have in the spirit, but haven't fully awakened to in the way we relate and walk. But it's ours. We're there. We're not trying to make it real. We're trying to enter into what is already real in his heart, who we already are based on his cross. This is all of ours based on all of his death and what he's made us in oneness, the finished work, but we don't all walk in it. We don't all relate there. We many times at different seasons sleep or find satisfaction while there is yet so much darkness on the deep of our own heart. And so we wake up and we rise up and we run and we cry and we travail in birth and we won't stop until we find him. And you know, it's a beautiful thing. Even when you're waking up on your bed and shaking yourself awake and saying, I can't stay like this. This love is working. It's love in action. Something's waking you up. Something's shaking you up. Something's getting you out of that bed. It's called love for Jesus, him whom my soul loveth. And it's even at that point, it's a beautiful thing. You know, we're always waiting for when I find him, when he's formed in me, when all the darkness is gone, when. And, you know, we can never just be with him in the beauty of loving him right where we're at. I love that right now you've withdrawn experience from me so I could shake my heart awake and just get after you for you. This is a beautiful time for me because I'm loving you right now where I'm at and you're getting that love. And yeah, as I'm running through the city streets in confusion and these watchmen are being mean, right now I'm loving you. Right now I'm standing with you. And it's a beautiful thing. Receive my love right here. And yeah, you know, when I enter in and the lamb's coming out of me, that's a beautiful thing because you're getting your son. But you know what? We can't always live for the next, and then in that same spirit, compare ourselves with people who are in a different season or at a different maturity. We're his. We're all his. And his heart rejoices with every step we take to be with him in a heart for him. And we don't have to be caught up in all that. We can just be his and be thankful and be, you know, like what God said to Peter, what are you worried about where John's at? Be where you're at. Be mine right here. You're all mine. And it's all me and you. Just be his. And let the seasons of our heart race towards the seasons of his heart. And let us all just cover each other as we race together towards him. And let the Spirit of God fill and flood our hearts as we hear what the Spirit is crying out and doing in us right now. It's so beautiful. Taking us out of the realm of complacency into the realm of bringing forth the Son. So Lord, just do all that's in your heart. Keep us from the little foxes and the pitfalls and the snares. Keep us from passivity and complacency and sleeping on our bed with darkness on the deep. Keep us from being just only wanting what's not there yet, but being with you right where we're at and just feasting on that step of the journey. Lord, keep us from being a solo flyer to just praying for one another, praying and interceding, drawing our sword and being valiant over the seed of Christ in one another. Father, keep us from comparing ourselves to one another because it's foolish. We're all in you and it's all you in us. And we just want to love each other with the love of God. Lay our lives down till we all come. Lord, just have your way. Have your way in us. May the joy and gladness of your heart overshadow everything we go through. To have you in us in this way. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.